You know, I find that sometimes people may be looking for reasons to not be thankful. You know, we see the lepers that Jesus healed, 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to give him thanks.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Three Signs of a Thankful Heart.
All right, if you'd open in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we want to look at verse 18. And the Apostle Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I want to speak to you this morning on three signs from this verse, three signs of a thankful heart, three signs of a thankful heart. Before we get into the three signs of a thankful heart, I want to share with you some other signs that we need to be aware of this Thanksgiving season. So let me share with you some signs that you may have eaten too much on Thanksgiving Day. One sign is the paramedics bring the jaws of life to pry you out of your lazy boy chair. That's a sign. That's a sign that you have eaten too much. Another sign is that you receive a sumo wrestler application in the mail. That's a sign that you may have eaten too much. Another sign is when you prick your fingers, gravy comes out instead of blood. That may be a sign that you ate too much. And probably the biggest sign that you might receive is when representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame call you twice. Amen. These are some signs. So we're not looking at those signs this morning. We're looking at signs, three signs of a thankful heart. You know, I find that sometimes people may be looking for reasons to not be thankful. You know, we see the lepers that Jesus healed, 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to give him thanks. And somebody said, well, what happened to the other nine? And one theologian reasoned these nine excuses that they might have had for not coming back to give Jesus thanks. Maybe one wanted to see if the cure was real. Another waited to see if it would last. One thought that they would go thank Jesus later. Another one decided that he never had leprosy in the first place. Another one said that he would have gotten well anyways. Another one gave glory to the priest. One said maybe Jesus really didn't do anything. He just told me to go tell the priest. Another said any rabbi could have done that. And then one said I was already getting better anyways. So you see that there were nine that didn't come back. So as we think about our lives and we think about how we have basked in the blessings of the Lord and we haven't come and given him thanks, what is your reason for not giving the Lord thanks today? Would you be like the nine that didn't come back, or would you be like the one that returned to him? You see, if we have a thankful heart, you know, there's no question. You know, we would have had no issue. We wouldn't have tried to make up an excuse about coming back. We would have just, as soon as, you know, we went and did what he told us to do, we would have been back there thanking Jesus because, you know, we have been isolated from society. You know, we have been outcast. Nobody wanted to do anything or come near us because we had leprosy, and that we would be so grateful that now I could be integrated back into society that I would be running to thank Jesus. And when we think about that, we were all spiritual lepers at one time. You know, we were outcasts from the kingdom of God, and that Jesus healed our sin-sick soul. saved us so that we might have eternal life, that we have something to be thankful for every day, that we are counted in the family of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And there's something that we always have occasion to be thankful for. Or maybe we might be like the man who asked his friend. You know, the guy named Leroy asked Willie to loan him $20. And Willie said, "Man, are you crazy? There's no way I'm going to lend you $20. And Leroy said, "Well, when the bank was getting ready to repossess your car, who gave you the money to make the payment?" And Willie replied, "Well, you did." Leroy responded, "When you were in the hospital, who took your son to football practice every day?" And Willie responded, "You did." "And when you got jumped out in the street, who had your back?" Willie responded, "You did." "Then why won't you lend me $20? And he said, "Well, you know, everything you said is true, but what have you done for me lately?" And you know, I wonder, you know, when we examine our lives and we see what we are going through and we don't praise God, I wonder if that's the way we feel. "Well, God, you know, you've been mighty good to me, but what have you done for me lately?" See, here in the verse that Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's look at the background to this passage this morning. In Ephesians 5, Paul is exhorting believers to be watchful in light of the day of the Lord. So in verses 1 through 10, he talks about the day of the Lord and how that is coming. And he says that we shouldn't be drowsy and we shouldn't fall asleep, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And so he says that we need to be watchful in light of that. And then he goes on to give a set of instructions of how the believers should conduct themselves in light of the fact that the day of the Lord is coming. And it's amazing that in the midst of these instructions that he's giving us in verses 11 through 28, he gives us three commands. Three commands. Look at the three commands. One is in verse 16, and these are in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. "Rejoice evermore" is the first command. The second command, "Pray without ceasing." And the third command, "In everything, give thanks." So he gives us these three commands to let us know that in light of the Lord's coming, that we ought to be obedient to what God is commanding us to do. So I want to share with you three things this morning as we look at this passage. And the first thing I want to share with you is that a thankful heart, three signs of a thankful heart. A thankful heart is a transformed heart. A thankful heart is a transformed heart. And I never saw this. I mean, I've seen it, but I've never thought of it in this light before. But do you know that the unrighteous naturally have a heart of ingratitude? Naturally have a heart of ingratitude. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, he says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So here he's talking about the unrighteous. "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So what he's saying here is that the unrighteous can clearly see that there is a God, but they reason it away. And so God says, "Because you have reasoned away the fact that I have shown a revelation of myself, that when you stand before me in the end, that you are going to be without excuse." And then look what he says in verse 21. "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God," look at this, "and neither were they thankful. Neither were thankful. The unrighteous do not have thankful hearts. That those who stand up against God and shake their fist at the revelation of God, the Bible says that they are unthankful. And so, as I think about, wow, the children of God, that if we don't have a thankful heart, and if we don't have a thankful spirit, that we are just as bad as the unrighteous. Just as bad as the unrighteous. Harry Ironsides had a issue, not an issue, but every time before he ate, he always prayed. And he would bow his head in thanking God for the meal. And so one day he was bowing, thanking his Lord for the meal, and somebody came and sat beside him and asked him, "Do you have a headache?" And he said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, is there something wrong with your food?" He said, "No, there isn't." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" And Ironside said, "Well, you know, I'm thanking God for my food." And the man said, "Oh, you're one of those people. You know, they thank God for their food. Well, I never thank anybody. You know, I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody for what I eat. I just start right in." And Ironside responded, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's just what he does too." Whenever we as God's people do not have a thankful heart, we are just as bad as the unsaved folk, because naturally they do not have a thankful heart. But God has done so much for us, and as the choir sang this morning, we have so many reasons to rejoice. If you look at the notes, we see that the first thing was one characteristic of an unbeliever is a heart of ingratitude. And we looked at that. But look at the second point under that thankful heart is a transformed heart. Thankfulness is a sign of a converted heart. The fact that Paul commanded us to give thanks in everything means we have the ability to do so. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a great transformation takes place in his life. This means that thanksgiving saturates every fiber of his being. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving should be the normal way of life. Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 3:17, Hebrews 13:15. On the contrary, ingratitude is abnormal for the believer. Did you hear that? Thanksgiving as a believer. The Bible says in those three passages, and I didn't read them this morning, but you can go read them. In those three passages, that thanksgiving should be ingrained into the very fabric of your nature as a Christian. That when you are cut, you know, again, we jokingly said this morning, you know, if you eat too much on Thanksgiving, you might bleed gravy. But when you are cut as a Christian, you ought to bleed thanksgiving. That thanksgiving ought to be oozing out of your spirit. That thanksgiving ought to be just waiting to come out of you. But yet and still, we see so many times as God's people, and I raise my hand to this, you know, we find much reason to complain. We find many reasons to be dissatisfied. We find many reasons why we don't praise and give thanks to God. And so sometimes the praise that naturally should be coming out of us is smothered by everything else that's going on in our lives. You know that it is, according to the Bible, all right, and I mean, all you got to do is read through the New Testament, and you'll see it over and over and over and over and over again, that it is abnormal for a Christian, a believer, someone who names the name of Jesus Christ, it is abnormal for you not to have a heart of thanksgiving. That is the exact opposite of what God has called you to do. So we have to really take an examination. We really have to look at ourselves and see if we are lining up with this great transformation that is taking place within us. Maybe some of us really need to tell our hearts, okay? We need our lips to tell our hearts. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. Because if your heart has been transformed, it has naturally been transformed into a heart filled with thanksgiving. Now, if you think about the fact that you are on your way to hell, a Christless, godless, fiery hell, and that Jesus died on the cross to save you from that road that you were on. And as I heard somebody say, he took me out of the pit and set me on the solid rock. And now I have this great salvation. And to think about, because I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this, and I don't have that, that I have reason to be ungrateful and reason to complain. When he has done so much for us, that no matter what I'm going through, I ought to have a heart filled with thanksgiving. And so we see that a thankful heart is a transformed heart. You know, I would say that if we don't have a, if thankfulness is not rooted in our hearts, you know, and I'm not one to, you know, y'all know me, I'm not one to question anybody's salvation. And so I'm not going to question your salvation, but you ought to really question your walk with the Lord. That there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. If we look at our day and we have an attitude of complaining and griping more than we do thanksgiving, there's, you know, it's not a problem with our circumstances. It's a problem with our heart. Oh, it's mighty quiet in here this morning. Mighty quiet. All right, you know, again, I don't got my wallet on me, but I was going to pay somebody to go get some guys from down on the corner. We got about three seats right here. They can just come. And I'm going to pay them $20 an hour just to say amen. All right. You know, I like the story that I heard about a young lady in school when the teacher asked, you know, that if the students today could think of what the seven wonders of the world would be if they looked around today. And the highest vote count was for the Great Pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, the Great Wall of China. And the teacher said, oh, those are all some great things. And then she noticed that there was one little girl who had not finished her list. And the teacher asked, you know, are you having trouble making up your list? And the young lady said, yes, a little. I couldn't make up my mind because there were so many. The teacher said, well, tell us what you have and maybe I can help you. And the little girl said, well, I think I have seven wonders. The wonder to be able to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, and to love. See, this was a young lady who really knew what the meaning of Thanksgiving was. She really knew what wonders that it is, that every day when you rise up and you can see, praise God. And you know what, as a matter of fact, if you have your, on the back of your bulletin, I think I have mine, I wrote a little poem just for this sermon today. I wrote a little poem. You can use this. Now, you know it's copyrighted, so if you go out here and try to claim it, I'm going to take you to court. No, I'm just kidding. All right. When I woke up this morning, my blessings did abound. Life, health, strength, family, and a mind that was sound. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will praise you, O Lord, and proclaim your worthy name. I will thank you for the clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet, for the food in my cupboards that you provided for me to eat. Therefore, in prosperity and adversity, in joy and in sorrow, I will praise you today and not wait until tomorrow. For tomorrow might not come and find me here on this earth, and I will have missed an opportunity to give you praise and extol your worth. So let me follow the words of the apostle who said, in everything give thanks, whether in the mountains, in the city, or on the stormy river banks. To go through this day and not thank you is very rude. It is a sign of an unbelieving heart and callous ingratitude. So matter what this day has in store for me, in part or in whole, the greatest thing I will thank you for is saving my wretched soul. Amen. 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 A morning prayer. A morning prayer from a thankful heart. That we have so much to be thankful for. Do you have a thankful heart? Well, the first sign of a thankful heart is a transformed heart. The second sign of a thankful heart is that it is unaffected by circumstances. It is unaffected by circumstances. If you would look at your notes, it says here, the phrase in everything, Paul said in everything give thanks, comes from the Greek terms en panti. It refers to everything that can happen in a believer's life. When he said in everything give thanks, the phrase is referring to everything, everything that can happen in your life. See, you know, we think everything means good things, right? We think everything means good things. But notice provisions, Psalm 22, 26. Goodness and mercy, Psalm 106 and verse 1. Persecution, Acts 5, 41. Salvation, 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Trials, James 1, 2 through 3. All these say that you should give thanks in whatever situation that you're in. Whatever situation that you're in, you ought to give thanks. Whatever you're going through now, you ought to give thanks. Whatever you're dealing with at this present moment, you ought to give thanks. When you hit the hard times in your life, you still ought to give thanks, no matter what you're going through. I don't know how easy, simple to explain this when he says in everything, right? In everything. So what does in everything mean in the Greek? It means in everything, no matter what it is. Well, like I said, sometimes we are thankful. Man, we are so thankful when things are going good. Oh, man, you know, we want to put on praise music. We want to dance around. We want to lift up our hands. We want to just glide through the air because things are going well. We got so much praise in our heart when things are going well. You know, I heard about a family that was poor, and they were out in the rural area, and they had a concern because their little boy had not started talking. And they did everything they could to try to get him to talk, but as he grew, he just refused to talk. And so the problem went on for a long time. And one day, the mother was preparing a meal, and she was so focused on something that the meal burned. And she served the meal to the little boy. He tasted it, and he hollered. He said, "I can't eat this. It's all burned." And the mother was shocked. And she ran up and hugged the little child and said, "Wow, you're talking. Why haven't you been talking up to this point?" He said, "Up to now, everything's been okay." Up to now, see, you know, only time we, you know, when things go bad, right? You know, then we take a whole different attitude. You know, we change. Okay, but when things are going good, wow, you know, we're all right. You know, we're all right. Man, there's no reason to complain, no reason to say anything. Things are going good. You know, I can praise God, but you know, it's that person that hits those difficult times when they start going through those rough patches in life that we find ourselves holding back on our thanksgiving, holding back on the gratitude. And then, finally, this morning, when we look at three signs of a thankful heart, a thankful heart is a transformed heart. A thankful heart is unaffected by circumstances. And a thankful heart does not give in to the emotion.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Three Signs of a Thankful Heart, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.